true life. Everybody say true life. All right. If you weren't here last week, like I said, I encourage you to go take a look online. The message will be on there this week of what that was all about. We started this idea of true life, and this week is going to be like the sum up of this idea. How we walk in this true life, this abundant life. Last week, I'm going to just quickly paraphrase for you. We talked about how God, in love, sent his son for us so that we could live an abundant life, a blessed life. And Jesus died on the cross, and at that moment, he defeated sin. He created a way for us to have relationship with God. And him, in his perfection, said, hey, I am going to give you everything up front. Now, walk in it. But we talked about the one prerequisite of all of that is that we must unite ourselves with Christ. See, God may have done everything already, and it's all past tense, but we must, in faith, unite ourselves with Christ. And that's where we come to this morning. How do we unite ourselves with Christ? How, if God has given us this abundant, true life, do we now walk in it? Because in my life, I struggle with it. I don't know about you. Maybe you're living the abundant life, but I struggle with it. Every day I wake up, it seems like there's things that come against me. There's things that I focus on that aren't the right things. You know? I may not have achieved this true abundant life yet. So this is just us together, every single one of us, walking on this journey, figuring this thing out. Can we all agree that we have not figured this thing out yet? Right? We haven't. So this, what we're going to be talking about this morning, is a journey. How we begin to walk this true life, this abundant life that God has for every single one of us. Before we get too far this morning, I kind of want to play a game with you. It's not something you have to answer, but it's something I want you to think about. I'm going to throw up on the screen some different things. And I want you to think about what defines this, or how would I define these things? The first one, Jacob, if you want to throw that up. What is an American? Okay, we could say, if you're an American or not, you know it, right? You're either born in America, you're an American citizen, or you're not, okay? The next one is this. What is an Egyptian? Okay, it's pretty easy, too. Next one. What is a Jew? If you don't know this, Jew is someone who is of Jewish heritage, okay? And then the next one is this. What is a Gentile? If you didn't know this, a Gentile is anybody who's not a Jew, okay? Now, those things are really easy to define, right? It's not hard for us to define this. You're either American or you're not. You're either an Egyptian or you're not. You're either a Jew or you're not. You're either a Gentile or you're not. But what about this next one? What is a Christian? Have you ever thought about that? Like, what is a Christian? If someone were to walk up to you on the side of the street and say, hey, are you a Christian? For me, I don't know, maybe you'd be able to, yes, and you could answer this completely easily, but I'd probably say something like, yes, I am, but, you know what I mean? But not like those Christians, you know? But not like this kind of Christian, because Christian is this huge, broad topic that we have in America that basically defines someone who thinks about God every once in a while, you know? Like, if you would have asked the graduating class that I graduated with, 500 and some students in my high school, I guarantee you a huge amount of them, probably 70, 80% of them would say, I am a Christian. I am a Christian. I remember everyone that I grew up with, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Except they acted nothing like a Christian, right? And so if someone were to ask you, are you a Christian? You'd probably say, yeah, but I'm like this kind of Christian. I'm like that kind of Christian. I believe this because we have Pentecostals, Assemblies of God, Methodists, Baptists, Moreist and alls, and all these different things that define Christian. And it's a hard definition to think about. Am I a Christian? What does it even mean to be a Christian? A Christian. Well, this morning what I want to do is I want us to understand that the word Christian, sometimes it's not a good thing. Sometimes it can be so broad that we forget the very reason of why we exist or who we are. In fact, the world around us probably would say this. Jacob, you could throw the next slide up. A Christian, if you, in the world, probably is, in your mind, Christians are a group of judgmental, homophobic moralists who think they are the only ones going to heaven and secretly relish the fact that everyone else is going to hell, right? You've met these kind of Christians, right? I'm going to heaven, but you're not. You know what I mean? Like, unfortunately, this is the world we live in. This is what media and those wacko Christians have created in our world. The kind of Christians that picket at a military funeral, right? Saying God hates gay people. It's like, why are you even there? You know? We have this bad rap around us. But this morning, what I want to do is I want to kind of rebrand us. Rethink about what it is to live this true life. What is it? Because did you know that Christian is not even a word that we really see in the Bible other than three times? You know, we call ourselves Christian, but did you know this, that the disciples never actually called themselves Christians? In Acts 11:26, it says this, and this is a backstory to this we're not going to get into right now, but this is just to prove a point. It says, and when he found him, that would be Saul, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So did you know, if we even go back to some writings that were not even Christian writings, they would have called Christians an abomination. That Nero actually blamed the burning of Rome on Christians. It was a derogatory term that was used to describe people who believed in Jesus. And we call ourselves that today. In fact, we've made this whole thing Christianity. This whole idea of, as long as I kind of believe in God, then I'm a Christian. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? This is something you've experienced. You've asked many people, are you a Christian? They've said, yes, I'm a Christian. But then you're like, but why is it that you're not living a true life, an abundant life? Why is it that you're constantly dealing with all these issues that the Bible clearly states that you probably shouldn't be dealing with, at least on a daily basis? We all struggle and we all mess up, but why is this? And I'd like to tell you this, that it's because we don't really understand who we are. It's so easy in America to say I'm a Christian, but in fact, like I said, the Christians never actually even call themselves Christians. The Christians called themselves actually disciple. Disciple. Now, it's really easy to hide behind the word Christian, right? Oh, I'm a Christian. But it's very hard to hide behind the word disciple. So this morning, we're going to do a little rebranding. So what is a disciple? Well, let's find out. Matthew 4, verse 18. It should be up there for you, Jacob. It says this, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Now Jesus called to them, come, follow me. Everyone say, follow me. He says, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little further up the shore, he saw two brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called to them too, and immediately they, what? Followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Now, in these times, when a rabbi or a teacher would call you to follow him, what he is doing is he is giving you an open invitation to be like him, to follow him, to live with him, to experience life how he experiences life. See, Jesus gives them this invitation as I would with Bud. If I were Jesus walking up to, I'd say, hey, Bud, follow me. And it's not like in our day where we're just like, oh, yeah, I'll kind of call you or text you every once in a while, and I'll just see how you're doing here and there. No, they followed him. At that moment, they would have identified themselves as a follower of Jesus. Their identity was no longer fishermen. Their identity was no longer anything other than a follower of Jesus. I am a follower of Jesus. I am a disciple of Jesus. of Jesus. See, you can hide behind the word Christian all day long, right? I'm a Christian. Yeah, I go to church every once in a while, and you know, God, yeah, I believe in God. He's up there, and, you know, cool, I'm a Christian. But disciple is a whole new ballgame. Disciple, the word, it means learner, pupil, follower, apprentice, adherent. Basically, whatever you say, my answer is already yes. Whatever you tell me to do, my answer is yes. I'm not going to kind of think about this. I'm not going to kind of jump in. I'm all in. I am your disciple. I am going to follow you. I'm going to learn from you. I'm going to become like you in every way. And Jesus this morning has given you an open invitation, given me an open invitation that says, hey, follow me. You notice he didn't say, hey, get your life right, and then you can follow me. Hey, you fishermen, I don't like your foul language. You need to clean that up, and then you can follow me. No, he says, hey, follow me. James and John were actually known as the sons of thunder, okay? Which probably meant they knew how to throw some parties, okay? These were rough fishermen. These aren't refined guys, you know? These are guys that were pretty rough. In fact, they were constantly thinking about themselves. All these disciples that Jesus tells to follow him, they're rough dudes. I mean, society at the time would have been like, Jesus has got a weird group of people following him, you know? Like, these are some weird guys. These are guys that ask, hey, can we just call down fire on these guys? Because they're not doing what they need to be doing. Jesus is like, hold on, dude. You know? That's what these kind of guys, and so what I love about this is each one of us, we are imperfect. We mess up constantly. We say things we shouldn't. We do things we think things that we shouldn't. But Jesus never asked us to be perfect. He said, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Become my disciple. Not just Christian, but disciple. And obviously, I understand the word Christian. It means little Christ or like Christ. So you understand what I'm saying this morning. It's easy for us to say, oh, I'm a Christian. But when we begin to say, no, I'm a disciple of Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. It changes the game. It begins to set our mind to think, you know what? I'm not going to follow a code. I'm going to follow the Son of God. I'm not going to follow this cool idea or this cool understanding. I am all about and will always be about Jesus. I am going to be a learner, a pupil, a follower of Jesus. And this morning, I want you to know, I said this last week, and it's true, that sin is done away with, okay? If you are a believer of Christ, if you have said, Lord, you're it. But here's the problem. If we're not finding that we're living a true, abundant life, the issue is this, is probably we're not really following Christ. You know? Like, we believe that, and that's cool, and you're probably going to heaven. I think there's a lot of Christians that they're going to be in heaven, but you know what? Their life here on earth, it sucks. You know? Because they're not following Christ. They believe, but they're not following. They're not his disciple. They're not his learner, his pupil. Someone that says, I am all in, Jesus. I'm all in. I want to know you more. I want to become like you. And in fact, Jesus, the answer is yes to whatever you say. The answer is yes. I am not even my own anymore. The answer is yes. So Jesus constantly, he constantly is taking this concept of what it means to be a follower, and he ups the ante like over and over. You see this in Scripture. In fact, in Luke 14, verse 25, it says this, a large crowd was following Jesus. Now, if you're a guy who's trying to get known, don't you think you'd be nice to people, like, a lot? You'd say things that make people feel good, but Jesus, he doesn't do that a lot. He loves people, but he says things that are really tough to understand. He says this, he turned around and said to them, this whole group of people, if you want to be my, what? Disciple. You must, by comparison, hate everyone else. Whoa, Jesus. Your father and your mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. This is tough. Like, this goes to that place where it's like a head scratcher, you know? Because, like, we as Christians, we've thought, okay, well, as long as I go to church and I'll read my Bible and I'll pray and I'll do the things I know I'm supposed to do. And those are all good things to do. But Jesus says, hey, I'm going to take it even a step further. Compared to the love that you have for Jesus, everything else should seem almost as hate. And that's weird, right? Because I look at my little boys, Joshua and Judah, and the love I have for them is incredibly intense. Like sometimes, if you're a parent, you have these moments where you think about, what if I lost my child? And it literally, like, just thinking about that just, like, takes the breath out of you, you know? And I think about a lot of times, do I love Jesus that much? And I would like to say the answer is yes. But I ask you this morning, do you love Jesus that much? And you don't get mad at me. Jesus said it, right? Jesus said, hey, here's the deal. You're all following me, right? You're all coming with me, this big old crowd. But here's the deal. You gotta hate the people around you in comparison, okay, not hate people, in comparison to how much you love me. And here's the weird thing that I've learned in my life. As I love Jesus more than anything else, the love that I have for my wife and my kids and my friends and my family and people I don't know actually is much greater than the love that I had for them before I was putting Jesus first in my life. That's the weird thing about the kingdom of God, is that when we choose Jesus, everything else gets better. See, so many people think, I could never do that because I love my family too much. But here's the deal. When you fall in love with Jesus more, when you put him first, then you're going to love your kids better than you could have ever loved them on your own. You're going to love people more than you ever could have loved them on your own. Because you're following the one who is love. It says in the word that God is love. It's not just a characteristic. It defines him. And as you become a pupil, a learner, a disciple of the one who is love, you become love yourself. You learn how to walk in love, how to speak in love. You become more like him. And that's what the abundant life is all about. If Jesus is the answer to abundant life, then become his disciple, his follower. Someone who will say, Jesus, in every moment of every day, the answer is yes to whatever you say. He even goes a step further in 27. He says, and if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. You cannot be my disciple. Basically what he's saying in this moment is, hey, if you're not willing to just die for me, you can't be my disciple. And the people don't preach this a lot. Because, and it's really quiet in here. Because it's really nice to think about these moments, like last week when I came up here and I said, everything has been given to you. God loves you. It's so great. And everyone's like, yes, this is awesome. And then I come the next week and I say, but you got to follow Jesus. You got to hate everyone else in comparison to the love you have for him. You've got to be willing to even die if he calls you to it. And then everyone goes, I'm not really sure if I'm supposed to clap to that. But guys, I'm telling you this, Jesus, he says these things for a reason. He's not dumb, he's the Son of God. And he knows that there's a lot of people in this world who love the idea of the Son of God, but they're not willing to follow him, you know? There's so many people, I mean, you could ask Hollywood, most of these actors, you could ask them, do you believe in God? And they'd say yes, but then their life doesn't add up. You could ask your friends and your relatives and people you know, and you'd say, do you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. Do you believe in Jesus? Yeah, I mean, I believe he lived. Are you a follower of Jesus? Are you a disciple? No. You know? It whittles it down. Think about the bar that Jesus is setting right here. He's saying, hey, I want you to have an abundant life. I want you to have a life better than you could ever know. But here's the deal. You got to die to yourself. And when you die to yourself, you will then truly live. It's the weird thing about the kingdom of God. If you want to be the most known, you become the least. And I say this a lot because it's so true. If you want to be served, then serve. A lot of us are saying, man, I wish I had great Christian friends. Well, be a great Christian friend. Man, I wish I could get over this depression. It just seems like no one texts me, no one calls me. It seems like no one loves me. Well, you start talking and texting and calling people. That's the kingdom of God. It's reversed. Whatever you want, do it, and in return it will be given to you. Right? Follow Jesus with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Give him everything you got, and in turn, he will unleash the blessing upon your life. And it's not something even he has to do, because he's already done it. It's something we begin to walk in as we begin to renew our mind on the things of Christ, as we allow the Holy Spirit to begin to change us, as we are in relationship with him. True life is in becoming a disciple of Jesus, of laying it all away so that Jesus becomes the most important thing in our life. So many of us, we think, okay, if I'm going to follow Jesus, and this was me in my life, if I'm going to follow Jesus, okay, now I want to do that, so that's cool, I'm going to do that, but here's, I guess now I need to learn everything in the Bible, I need to pray and just fast and do all these things the Bible says. Okay, I'm gonna do all these things, and they're all great. But so many times as Christians, we miss the most important thing. And I think the most important thing we can do is found in John 13. And I think Jesus would even tell us, because he does, that this is the thing that we've got to get right. If we're gonna do anything in our life, if we're gonna be disciples of Jesus, this is what we have to do. In John 13, Jesus is having his last supper with the disciples. So this is kind of the last moment he's going to have with them, you know? And Judas has just left. So the betrayer is out of the picture, okay? Poor Judas. In verse 33, Jesus says this, "Dear children, I will be with you only a little longer." So basically, listen up, guys. I'm about to hit you with a truth bomb, okay? He says, "As I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you cannot come where I am going. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other." Everyone say, love each other. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? That we would love each other. What did Jesus say was the summation of all the law and all the prophets? It's to love God. Love each other, right? And I think we as Christians, unfortunately, the word Christian is tainted because we haven't got this right. The one thing Jesus really told us to do, to love each other. He goes on, he says, "Just as I have loved you, you should love each other." I love that Jesus never asks us to do something that he already hasn't done. You know, he tells them, hey, unless you're willing to pick up your cross and follow me, can I be my disciple? Why? Because he picked up his cross and he died for us. He never asked us to do something that he wasn't willing to do himself. And so when the disciples are probably scratching their mind, they're going, okay, he just told us to love each other. How do we do that? Jesus says, love each other like I loved you. And I can only imagine in the disciples' mind, they're kind of thinking back to the times where Jesus has shown them so much love. I mean, like I said earlier, these guys were knuckleheads, okay? These guys were fishermen. How did he deal with these guys? He loved them. I mean, if you read the Bible, you go to where he walks up to Matthew, who's also known as Levi, who was a tax collector. If you want to talk about the most hated group of people in the whole world at that time, it was tax collectors. And guess what he did? He said, follow me, become my disciple. You can only imagine if he were able, you know, he's probably talking to the disciples. He's going, hey guys, so you remember that time when I asked Matthew to join us? That was kind of weird, right? And everyone's like, yeah, that was really weird. And then Jesus is like, hey, and remember we went to a house with Matthew, his house? And remember there's a whole lot of sinners there and like other tax collectors? Remember how we got through all that? Love. Because I loved him. I saw the gold in him when you saw the coal. You saw the rock, the filthy, the messed up, the sin. Jesus like, I saw the gold because I love him. I didn't expect him to be perfect. I didn't expect anything of him. I loved him. And then he could look at Nathaniel and he goes, hey, Nathaniel, remember? You guys don't even know about this because Nathaniel was one of the first people if he was talking to his disciples. But hey, Nathaniel, remember what you did when you first met me? Remember when your brother went and got you? You said, can anything good come from Nazareth? You guys all remember? You dissed my whole family, man, you know? Like his disciples come, and then later Nathaniel's like, wow, this really is the Son of God. How do we get through that? Well, you love me, Jesus. You love me. Yeah. Every time Peter constantly sticks his foot in his mouth, you know, over and over again, Jesus, what did he do? He loved him through it. He said, hey, I love you guys. I love you. So my dad, last week when he was here, he asked me, what if you could go back to any time, what would it be? Like, if you could just watch a moment. And I was thinking about all the great Bible stories. Man, David and Goliath, that'd be awesome. And then I said, you know what I'd really like to see? Is Jesus in his downtime with his disciples. We see it in the scripture. We just see, like, the big moments. But I always wonder, what was Jesus like in the downtime with his disciples? I mean, these guys were willing to die for Jesus. You aren't willing to die for a jerk. You know? They were willing to die for him. They were willing to follow him. They loved him. Why? Because he loved them. You know? I only imagine how Jesus must have laughed with them and talked with them. You know, I mean, I can't imagine what that was completely like, but Jesus embodied God, who embodies love. And so when Jesus says this, love each other as I have loved you, what he's saying is, hey, be my disciple. Follow me. Become like me in the way that I loved you. In verse 35, it says this, your love for one another will prove, everyone say prove, to the world that you are my disciples. Not how much scripture you know. Not if you go to church on Sundays. Not if you say the right things. Not if you look suit perfect and all. It says if you love, then people will know that you're my disciple. And man, have we got this wrong as a Christian nation. As Christians around the world, many of us, we do this right, but many of us, we don't. We're far more willing to point someone's fault out than love them. I'm guilty of that. With my own family, it seems the hardest sometimes, you know? The people you're closest with, it's like, man, they're just not doing right, you know? This is wrong, and we get frustrated, and we get upset, and I get it. But Jesus looks at these disciples who are all knuckleheads and he says, hey guys, the world will know if you're my disciple by how you love one another. Amen. By how you love one another. That's the most important thing. Not if they're getting it all right, not if they're perfect, but that you love one another. And there's going to be times we know that love is telling someone the truth in love sometimes. Love is doing some things that are hard at times, telling someone something, saying something. But ultimately, we look at how Jesus loved people, and that is what we should do, to love one another. See, this whole thing with Jesus is set up in a way, I go back to last week, that true life is true relationship with God. Because if you want to love someone, if you want to love your family, if you want to love your wife or your husband or your kids, The only way you can love them like Jesus loved them is if you know the love of Jesus. See, everything always comes back to Jesus and our relationship with Him. Because so many people are now going to go, okay, well, I have to love people. And so, man, I'm going to make myself love someone. You know? I'm going to make myself love my wife. Man, if she would just do that, I could love her more. If he would just do that, then I could love him more. If they wouldn't just be so dumb, I could love them more. You know? But no. It's not about us. Again, our relationship with Jesus is what will bring us to the reality of what love is. And we will flow in love through our relationship with Jesus. You can't do this on your own, or else love will only turn to hate. That's why we see people picketing. That's why we see Christians holding up signs saying, gays are going to hell. God hates you. God's wrath is coming down. Why? Because they don't get it. God loves them. He loves everyone. He loved us in our junk and our mess, and all he says is, hey, love them. Love them. You know, if we just got that right, I'm sure many of our coworkers would say, hey, why do you love people so much? Our family said, you know what? I don't get this whole Jesus thing. You're kind of weird. You're kind of a wacko. But here's the deal. You love people. I just see you smile all the time. Like, why? Why is it that you're able to get through that issue that would have crippled me? Why is it that you have peace in the midst of so much junk? Why is it that you're always willing to pick up the phone and talk to me, even when I've been a jerk to you? And we can say, you know what? On my own, I never could get that right. But Jesus has taught me how to love people. Jesus is the answer to your life's questions. It's not in just trying to figure out how to be a better person. It's becoming a follower of Jesus. My friend is in MMA. I really like MMA. I like watching guys beat each other up, which I think is fun. My wife thinks I'm like weird because of that. She's like, this is disgusting. Why are you watching this? But I like it. My friend, he's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu purple belt. And so he's really good. He's like this big old dude. He could sit on me, I'm sure, and just like break every bone in my body. But I was talking to him because we were talking about MMA. And he's like, the cool thing about all this is that when you learn to be a Brazilian jiu-jitsu artist or you're in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, it's not like most, you know, karate or taekwondo where you just have to break a board or those are legit things too, okay? If you don't punch me if you're in that. But he said the thing I like about jiu-jitsu is that you have to spar. Like, they will not give you your next belt unless you know exactly what you're doing. Like, you have to get on the mat and you have to roll around with someone else and put them in submissions, and you have to really learn how to do this. And you have to find someone that is going to teach you how to do this. You have to find someone that's going to allow you the option to become this. And he said, I really like it because even kind of the phrase of it on the belt, it says it's about the journey. In fact, to get a black belt in jiu-jitsu, it's going to take you at least 10 years. So it's a long time. And it's this journey that they take to learn how to do all these things. And what's so interesting to me is that all of us, we have hobbies, we have things we like, you know, just like that. And we'll watch YouTube videos on how to build something right, how to do something right. We'll become experts in the field. Like, I love hunting, so I'm constantly watching videos on how to get my tree stand in the right place and how to feed the deer in a way that they'll come out right and how to do this, how to set up my bow or my gun or all these things. But yet, when it comes to our relationship with Jesus, we kind of say, thanks, Jesus, for saving me, and that's all. You know? We should be more consumed with our relationship with Jesus than we are with any hobby. With anything that is really fun. There are a lot of fun things. But it's about Jesus, about our relationship with Jesus. It's about saying, God, I'm not going to just call myself a Christian. I am going to be your disciple. I'm going to follow you. Every moment of every day, I'm going to get to know you more. I'm going to get to know you more. But if you want to come up and just play some acoustic, we're going to close this out. I'm going to let you out a little early this morning. Everyone's like, amen. God loves you so much, you know? And I think it's really easy for us to kind of hear last week's sermon and go, oh man, this is so great. This week it's like, man, this is kind of hard. And you go away from this. And sometimes it's like, how do I go further? How do I take what was just said and now apply it to my life? Well, let me tell you this. Everything is found in your relationship with Jesus. Like I said last week, when I started learning that I walk in all these amazing blessings and true life, abundant life through faith, I started building it up on my own, trying to build my faith. But remember from last week, it says that Jesus is the initiator and perfecter of your faith. You don't perfect your faith. You don't get yourself to the place where you can look at a mountain and say, move. It's through your relationship with Jesus that he builds you up to the place where you can begin to walk in the abundance, in the outpouring of the Spirit. It's not on your own. How do I love people more, Austin? I really wish I could. Well, it's not up to you. You will never love people until you know what love is. Love God. Love people. That's what Jesus said. Well, you can't love people without understanding the love of God for you. Everything points us back to our relationship with Jesus. Everything. Paul said, I count everything as loss, that I would just know him, Jesus. If I could just figure my relationship out with him, then everything would make sense. And sometimes, I was even, and this might sound weird, I was talking to my dad last week, and I said, Dad, what if we didn't have the Bible? What if we didn't have the Word of God? For a long time, they didn't. They had the Old Testament. They didn't have all these writings of Paul, and they didn't have all these, this beautiful book put together. And thank you, God, that we have that today, and we can learn from it, and we can know what God is like and what Jesus. But what if you didn't have it? John tells us the Holy Spirit will teach you the things of God. The Holy Spirit, you don't even need to be told, he says, the things of God. The Holy Spirit will reveal them to you. What if we didn't have the Bible? The only thing that would get you through is your relationship with Jesus. And I'm so glad we have the Bible. I'm not saying throw your Bible away. I'm saying Jesus is the one that will get us to a place in our life where we're living a true, abundant life. Every morning you wake up, it's Jesus. Before you go to bed at night, it's Jesus. Throughout your day, it's Jesus. It's talking to him. It's getting to know him. It's focusing on the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Saying, Father, you're more important, and I love you. Amen. Let's pray. God, forgive me because I get this wrong so many times. Thank you that you do forgive me, that you love me. You love all of us so much. And I pray, God, that we would get this one thing right. And that is our relationship with you. God, that we wouldn't try to just be a good Christian, but instead we would begin to see ourselves as disciples of Jesus. That we would say, I want to know you, Jesus, the love that you have for people. I want to know the Holy Spirit, to know the power that is in me through Jesus. I want to know you, God the Father. I want to know you so well. I want to understand you and in every moment of every day walk with you. Father, I pray that you would begin to renew our minds as we begin to have this relationship with you to the place where we can say, I know you, Father. I know how you love people. I know how you care about people. In fact, you and I, we begin to walk in this together. I pray that we would do that, Father. In your name, amen. Amen. Well, I hope this morning something spoke to you inside and said, man, I want that. I want that relationship with you. I want it more than anything. The thing about that black belt in jiu-jitsu is one more thing. When you get it, they say that you have at that point not only mastered the techniques, but now you have kind of made it your own. And I love that, because my hope for every single one of you is that you'll get to know Jesus so well that you've learned and you've grown in Him, that then He can say, okay, now you know me and you're going to continue to walk with me, but here, now I've made you in your own way, in your own skills and your talents, and I'm going to do through you things that you that no one else could do, because He's created you to be creative and to do things like only you could do it. He's made you to serve in ways that only you could serve, and He's designed you that way. And so as you get to know Jesus more, at first it's going to be fumbling and figuring it out and just trying to get it right. But as you learn more and more about who God is and you're walking with Him, then He says, okay, now in turn, I want you to go and I want you to begin to serve and love people and care about people and grow as a church body together. And I'm going to throw a real quick plug in here for community groups. We're going to be starting that up in the next few weeks. In July 30th, we're going to be signing up for them. I encourage you, if you have never been in a community group, do it. Because we learn about God and we grow in relationship with one another. We do the two things that Jesus says to do. And that is why we think it's so important. So I encourage you, in your relationship with God, say, God, what can I do? How do I get to know you? How do I love people more? Amen? I love you guys. Thank you so much for coming this morning. You get to lunch a little early. And everyone said amen. Love you guys.